Welcome back, everyone. We're Simply Bitcoin. We break down the news, the daily fail, meme review, software releases, hardware releases, and the pleb sites. Joining us today, we've got the head of HR. That's right, head of human resources from the Bitcoin company, Ben the Carman. Ben, what is happening? Welcome back.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be back on. Always good to hang out with some good friends. So happy to be here and talk HR.
You know what? We're very fascinated by the human resources world. We're glad to have you on. But first, we're diving into the numbers. Let's do it.
Mama time!
Brought to you by Noddle. They make some of the best Bitcoin nodes, like the Noddle 1. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all in the comfort of your own home. And if you're a Bitcoin nomad, you're on the go, there's no excuse because they just released Noddle Cloud. Run Noddle through a virtual private server anywhere around the world with the familiar Noddle UI. Check out Noddle.eu today.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 744,032. The Bitcoin price, 21,350. Chain rewrite days, 827. Total public Lightning capacity, that is a nice jump, 4,125.66. Moscow time, 46.84. Blocks to the halving. I like that dance, Nico. Blocks to the halving, 95,968. And the Samurai Whirlpool unspent capacity. Samurai Whirlpool is a CoinJoin or collaborative spend. It is not a mixing service. And the unspent capacity for that pool is 4,840.73. The numbers, Nico. The numbers.
The numbers. Numbers looking good. So I always pick a topic during the numbers that is like tailored toward the guest. Right? Especially when we have a guest on, right? Because it would be weird. It wouldn't be tailored towards anyone if we didn't have a guest.
It would be tailored to no one.
It would be tailored to us, right? It's very different. Anyways, so let's check this out. We've gone over this data 1,000 times. This is our favorite Glassnode, Hopium. Woo!
We could use some Hopium right now.
It's really interesting because this has been happening for the last couple of weeks, and Bitcoin is going parabolic. There's a stat in Bitcoin that is going parabolic, and I think that this is a good representation of the growth of the network. This is the number of addresses with a non-zero balance, right? Literally a rocket ship all the way up. Let's check out addresses with 0.01, literally a parabola. Check that out, bro. It's literally mooning. It's literally going straight up. You know the M2 money supply that we always show? It's doing that, but its Bitcoin addresses is different. Also, addresses with 0.1, also hitting a parabola. It looks like the plebs are stacking the dip. And let's check out addresses with 1 Bitcoin, also going higher. More new whole coiners are being minted. Absolutely bullish. Now, what's really interesting, though, is that once you start getting into the bigger balances, it's no longer a parabola anymore. This is balances with 10 Bitcoin or more. Right, which already a decent amount, starts to flatten out, even though there's a little bit of a pickup, right? Addresses with 100 Bitcoin or more, also staying sideways. Addresses with 1K or more, not that many, also going sideways. And say addresses with 10K or more, these are usually exchanges, so I really wouldn't count that last one. But as you can see, between 1 Bitcoin and 0.01 Bitcoin, it's going up, dude. The number of Bitcoin addresses with that amount, with those amounts, keeps reaching all-time highs. But not only does it keep reaching all-time highs, it's parabolic, bro. It's like the money printer chart, but with the number of Bitcoin addresses. It's great. Anyways, Ben the Carman, what's going on here?
I think that's great. Like, it's either like lots of new users coming on, or it's just people stopping like reusing addresses. So either way, it's like, you know, a net benefit to everyone, where, you know, we're all getting more people on Bitcoin, or everyone's using better privacy techniques. So I'm happy for it.
Awesome. Do you think it could be a little bit of both, right? It would make sense if it was little bit of both. Phil.
Yeah, definitely.
What's up?
This is why we bring the smart people like Ben on. Right?
This is exactly why I brought it up with Ben. Because when we talk about it, we're like, oh, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this.
But our stuff is always like, you know, our stuff is always way more like, you know, the caveman type of angle. Like, you know, Ben goes and brings the signal right there. It could be users who are not reusing the same addresses, and we're seeing an increase in that. And that means more people are taking their security seriously, possibly. That is great signal.
That is great signal.
But that's awesome. Thank you.
Don't you think that would be annoying, dude? You don't think people should consolidate? We actually got that question not too long ago.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think about consolidating? Right? Yes, fine. People are using a new address every time they receive Bitcoin, but don't you think people should consolidate every once in a while?
And you can consolidate UTXOs, but you should still do it to a new address just because, you know, there's no reason to tie those all together. So, yeah.
That's true.
It's a good, like, you can consolidate. That would reduce, I guess, this number a little bit, but still it would create a new ad, or you should do it with a new address. As well, if you're doing things like CoinJoin or something, then you probably shouldn't consolidate. So you get this, like, you know, increase that graph as well.
Why should people use a new address when they consolidate? What is the benefits of using a new address?
And there's, like, it's really just, like, there's no downside to using it. Like, an address is just, like, a key in your wallet. So, you know, if you haven't already used the address, people might know that's like, oh, that's been the car man's address. So then when you send that again, they're like, oh, hey, look, you deposited more money in there.
Mm.
And especially if you're doing consolidation, say, like, you know, say you have 1,000 Bitcoin, you send it all into one address that they know is yours. But like, oh, shit, you know, that guy's got 10,000 Bitcoin. Versus if you do it to a new address, you know, there's a little more ambiguity and you're just not tying it to previous payments as much.
Gotcha. Phil?
So let me ask you this when it comes to, because we're talking about the address, you know, the UTXO maintenance. So let's dive into it. Okay. How often or what metric do you think determines how often a person should consolidate UTXOs? My personal opinion is I just kind of wait until the sat per byte is really low. And then I go to check to see, you know, like what I have, and then I go and consolidate. So that's pretty much my whole metric is sat per byte. But is there anything different than that you would use?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like, you know, what is your use case? Like if you're just hodling forever, like, and you have a bunch of small UTXOs, maybe it makes sense to combine them. But like, you know, if I'm planning on, you know, if I just bought like, you know, $100 worth of Bitcoin, I'm going to be making a $50 payment tomorrow. There's no real reason to consolidate it. And another always important thing to do is the privacy aspect, where, you know, if you have like all these UTXOs and you combine them, you know, merging all of their histories and like, you know, showing the world I have this much Bitcoin in a UTXO, so they assume you own that much. So, you know, that's always a consideration. Like, I mean, personally, I rarely ever consolidate just because like, that's just sitting in cold storage, you know, and I don't want to have to like, dig all that up to combine them and move them. But if you are like making lots of transactions or expect to at higher fee rates and it is low fees, it does make sense to do it now. But like, it's not something you should be like, oh my gosh, I need to do this right now, otherwise I'm gonna get wrecked in the future. It's, you know, it's not a huge deal.
Beautiful. That was kind of the key right there, because I think that there's, unfortunately, you know how it goes. There's a lot of concern trolling for different topics. And I think that was the key. So thank you.
I think there's also a hardware limit on what some signing devices, also known as hardware wallets, could do, right? I think the Ledger and the Cold Card, I think they actually have like and someone's actually done the research for this, so shout out to that person. But there's like a hard stop on how much they could do, and I think that has to do with the memory or something.
Yeah, like these, like your hardware wallets like kind of stay secure by just having like very small amounts of memory, so like no one can really put on like bad software. But yeah, so like if you had a huge transaction with lots of inputs, then it could get too like memory intensive for the hardware wallet. I know the Cold Card MK4 has like a lot more memory, so it should solve those problems. But you know, that is also something you could be concerned with. If you're like combining 100 inputs and then your hardware wallet can't sign it, you might have to do like, you know, one transaction of 50, one transaction of 50 if you needed to.
But, yep. If you're mining Bitcoin, pro tip, don't mine to a hardware wallet. I learned that the hard way, but Phil, it's time for
the Daily News.
Brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make some of the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the famous 3D printed Bitcoin grenade toy. Comes in any custom color your heart desires. This just happens to be in the best colors, the Simply Bitcoin colors. Or what about if you like Peter Schiff? That's right, comes in gold. And some good news, which our guest just told us. You can go check out the Bitcoin Company website. There's Crypto Cloaks gift cards. You can also take advantage of the promo code down below. And if in Europe, don't worry, because the European store for Crypto Cloaks is now open. All right, more hypocrisy from the clown world. This is absolutely hysterical. Crypto owners banned from working on U.S. government crypto policies. Let's read some of this. U.S. government officials who privately own cryptocurrencies are now banned from working on regulations and policies that could affect the value of digital assets. A new advisory notice released by the U.S. Office of Government Ethics. What does that even mean? On Tuesday stated that the de minimis exception, which allows for the owners of securities who hold an amount below a certain threshold to work on policy related to that security, is universally inapplicable when it comes to cryptocurrencies and stablecoins. What? As a result, an employee who holds any amount of cryptocurrency or stablecoin may not participate in a particular matter if the employee knows the particular matter could have a direct or predictable effect on the value of their cryptocurrency or stablecoins. And I know what you guys are saying, right? I know, I get it, right? Some of you are going to be like, but Nico, that sounds fair. That sounds noble. But the thing is, the hypocrisy there, and you know what? Nico did a little bit of research. Nico Jones did some research. Now, let's take a look at some of that hypocrisy. This is Nancy Pelosi. She's the Speaker of the House. They interviewed here when she got caught. Insider trading. So someone asked her, like, hey, how did you make that trade so good? This was her response. It was a famous video that we actually played for you guys at the time. She said, we're a free market economy. They should be able to participate in that. Let's take a look at the net worth of Nancy Pelosi. She's worth $120 million U.S. dollars. Now, what is the salary of a congressman and woman? Well, I looked that up. It's $193,000 for the Speaker of the House. So she's been in office for like 50 years or so, really since the 1980s. That math makes absolutely no sense. How does someone who gets paid $193,000 a year end up with a $120 million salary? Ah, but remember guys, in crypto, you got to make sure that you're banned from working on any government crypto policies. Do you think it might have something to do with Bitcoin being a threat to the establishment, the powers that be, perhaps governments, and how they operate? Or do they actually care about the corruption? Okay, well, that's Nancy Pelosi. But let's take a look at the Fed, shall we? You know, the central bank of the U.S. A timeline of the Federal Reserve's trading scandal. We covered this also. A reputational crisis at the Federal Reserve has led to the resignation of two senior officials within the central bank, raising questions about the strength of the Fed's guardrails around personal financial interests. In September 2021, media reports highlighted several large financial transactions carried out by Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan and Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren during 2020. You know what else happened in 2020? They printed all that money, baby. As the heads of the two of the Fed's network of 12 reserve banks, both were instrumental in engineering the Fed's response. They want to let you know that the whole system was instrumental in the financial response to the pandemic. So, to be fair, after that scandal happened, right, and didn't give a lot of details on what that scandal was, but basically what they did was they bought stocks on which they knew the Fed was going to inject money into to prop up, you know, the U.S. economy. So I think that is literally the fucking definition of insider trading, but it's the government. But so it's just a scandal, right? Normal people, not in the government, go to jail. But when the government does it, yeah, still slap on the wrist. Oh, they get to resign. Then you have the Speaker of the House worth $120 million, but she has a congresswoman salary. But remember, guys, the problem is the crypto and the Bitcoin. And when Bitcoin and crypto, if you even hold a dollar of Bitcoin, how dare you work in the government and get to decide Bitcoin and crypto policy. How dare you, you dirty peasant? So the hypocrisy there, the, you know, we're, the rules for thee and not for me, the double standard in terms of the judicial response, the judicial consequence, better said. Yeah, it's just total clown world. And another thing, right, is kind of connect the dots with the Fed's treatment of Catlin Long's Bitcoin bank in Wyoming and in the Kraken attempt at a Bitcoin bank in Wyoming. This is the first time they're just delaying that application. Now, apply this to Gary Gensler's treatment of the Bitcoin ETF. Again, Bitcoin is just special when it comes to this. So you can almost make the argument that a lot of these bureaucrats are really seeing Bitcoin as a threat. And they're treating it differently because of it, right? If it's the ETF, if it's the Fed treatment of the Wyoming Bank, or in this case, if you own even just a little bit of Bitcoin, your input in the policy of Bitcoin and the regulation towards Bitcoin, because they really can't regulate Bitcoin itself, you can't be involved in that, right? We got to have people that are true believers in the U.S. fiat dollar system. That's how I see it. So yeah, man, hypocrisy, clown world, all of the above. And you know what was crazy before I shut up is that the corruption that I pointed out, that's at the highest level of the government. You have the Speaker of the House and then the head of a Federal Reserve branch. Okay, I'm not talking about the small little fish. Oh, they did that. No. I'm talking about the tippity top of the pyramid. So yeah, dude, this is just absolutely ridiculous. The only reason that they're passing these rules is because they're scared of Bitcoin. They're scared if someone in the government gets in there with the incentives of Bitcoin behind them, and how dare they could, you know, rule a favorable regulation towards Bitcoin. Again, I think all Bitcoiners are a little paranoid, but that's my perception of it. Ben the car man, what's going on here, brother? Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I 100% echo all of everything you said. Like, I mean, fuck the government. They're just full of, like, you know, people that are, you know, doing this fraud, as you pointed out, and then, like, you know, going back, like, oh, you can't do that with Bitcoin. And I think it's funny, too, because, like, with Bitcoin, a lot of times when you, like, when you're forced to, like, not allowed to invest because of, like, a media thing or something like this, you just watch Bitcoin go to the moon, and you just, like, you're having fun staying poor, and then you just, like, wait there, and you're like, well, now you get salty and you hate Bitcoin, so then you act against it. So it doesn't really even, like, help prevent, like, people being, like, neutral. It just generally just makes people hate Bitcoin. And I think a funny thing with that original post is it said, like, because it's a security, but Bitcoin's been ruled not a security, and shitcoins are mostly securities. So it could end up where they change it where you can't own Bitcoin but not, like, any shitcoins, which would be kind of funny.
Dude, that's actually really good. Ben always has the secret signal, bro. He's just like, but this, boom. Phil, what are your thoughts on the U.S. clown world government?
It's interesting that he mentioned about the securities, because we're going to dive into that a little bit later in the fail, right? It seems like there's a little bit of confusion. And obviously the regulators are going to step in to, you know, to clear that all up.
Love the bureaucrats, bro.
Yeah, right? Them. They're always ready to come fix all the problems, even though all these problems aren't being fixed. Okay, anyways.
And they cause the freaking problems in the first place.
Look, the House Speaker is allowed to trade on insider information and is petitioning for the fact that they should be allowed to do this. That's all I have to say. You know what? They can call it whatever they want, but they have access to levels of information that we as the peons do not. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I don't care any way that you color this, you dress this up. It's a frickin' scam, okay? It's like in the famous words of George Carlin, it's all bullshit and it's all bad for you. Okay? But look. The other angle to this is that they're treating Bitcoin like a joke, okay? Like, that's really what it is, this ridiculousness that, like, oh, well, look, if you hold any kind of Bitcoin, you can't regulate Bitcoin. If you hold any kind of shit coins, then, you know, you can't regulate shit coins. Look, I, again, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that they're, in terms of perception, they're belittling it, okay? And they're treating it like a joke, And that is, to me, that is a gaslighting article. That is a gaslighting mindfuck article. Because are you telling me that nobody at the Federal Reserve uses money? So like they go to a store, they're using some different kind of currency because they're the one printing dollars. So we can't have people that close, intimately tied to the money, right? Also using money. What? That's a conflict of interest. How come all those people aren't in jail? Like, it's psychotic and it's nuts. Because at the end of the day, what they're going to tell you is that, well, look, government issued currency is different. How is it different? Really, like, besides the fact that it is a complete utter scam and doesn't contain any of the actual qualities that we really desire. All right, what else? This is hypocrisy and it's insane.
Yep, it's insane hypocrisy. I think you pointed it out beautifully. Anyways, let's move on to the Bitcoin company. This is where Ben the Carman is currently super into the human relations there. You know, he gets the, when someone applies, you know, he's like, the first question on the questionnaire says, have you ever bought shitcoins in the past? If they do, Ben, not only does he not reply to your, you know, application, he literally sends you a bag of shit in the mail. Yes, that Ben Ben is savage like that. I know. I've tried to talk to him about it, but he just keeps sending me bags of shit. Anyways,
the Bitcoin ship, Nico.
Yeah, he does. He runs a type ship. It's true. Did you know that if you hold your tongue and you say ship, it comes out of shit? Look, thit. See, boom. Anyways, moving on. The Bitcoin company, let's talk about it. I actually love this company, dude. They have, look, one of the biggest freaking problems that Bitcoiners have, right, is when you migrate to a Bitcoin standard, right? Meaning you start denominating your wealth in Bitcoin, right? You have as little fiat dollars as little fiat in your bank account as possible, and you start living on Bitcoin. I know BTC Sessions does this. I've been doing this for quite a while now. Yeah, well, it's pretty hard sometimes because a lot of places, they just don't accept Bitcoin yet. So I think that the Bitcoin company plays a great role in this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ben. I know that one of the cards that you could buy in Bitcoin is a Visa card. It is a Visa gift card. And you could just load it up and immediately just transfer, you send sats, you buy the Visa gift card and you have US dollars, and now you could use that Visa card to buy and purchase things. So it's really cool. Let's check out the mission and then we'll ask Ben about some questions. We have a big vision to help everyone in the world own and understand Bitcoin. We want to be one-stop shop for all your financial needs, but we have to start somewhere. So we started by creating an app that rewards you with free Bitcoin for all of your everyday shopping. When you spend with us, we'll give you up to 25% back in Bitcoin rewards on all your everyday purchases. And soon, the Bitcoin company will make it easy to leave your bank for a better experience built on Bitcoin. So what is the long-term vision of the Bitcoin company, Ben? And what makes this different than a company like Lolli or a company like Fold? Right? Because you hear rewards and you're just like, this has been done before. What makes you guys different?
I mean, today our major differentiator from those guys is the Visa card, like you said, where you can buy this Visa card and be able to like basically sell your Bitcoin KYC free, as well as be able to, you know, go and spend it anywhere. So like a lot of times, you know, if you're like, you know, you're going to Taco Bell, okay, we have a Taco Bell gift card. But if you're at some random coffee shop in your town, you know, we probably don't have their gift card. So you can just buy a Visa card and now go spend it there. So you can basically just live on your Bitcoin for like almost anything besides, you know, something like a rent payment. And yeah, so like our long-term goal is like, you know, we have this initial thing where it's like letting you live on your Bitcoin. We got like, you know, the people that already have Bitcoin, we can like satisfy some of their needs. But there's also, you know, 7 billion people that don't have Bitcoin yet, and we need to fix that problem. So we're going to be adding in like a way to buy Bitcoin and way to hold your Bitcoin with like with banking services. So you could essentially like delete your normal like Wells Fargo app, like that, or whatever banking you have, and just use only us. So you could like, you know, receive your direct deposit, pay your bills, and you'll have like a fiat balance and a Bitcoin balance, and they can both speak each language. So if you need to pay off your credit card bill, but you only have Bitcoin, well, we'll just sell it instantly and pay it off. And, you know, you don't have to worry about that. If you want to, you know, pay a Lightning invoice, but you have no Bitcoin, we'll just buy some Bitcoin immediately and pay off the invoice for you. So you can do all these, basically just, you know, make your bank speak Bitcoin, because, you know, that's where the world is moving. But, you know, we do have this transitory phase where the fiat world does exist. So it's, you know, let's just add Bitcoin on top of it and make it easy to use.
Awesome. So yeah, so what you said, right? So with Lolly, it's a Chrome plugin, right? And it's really when you make a purchase. With Fold, you have to send fiat to your Fold card, and then you get a certain, after you spin the wheel, you get a certain amount of sats back. But with you guys, it's interesting because what you guys are facilitating is what you said, living, making it easier to live on Bitcoin. And that was one of the things that first interested me about your company, right? Just the biggest drag, right, is you try to live on Bitcoin, this is what's going to happen, right? You either transfer, you have to transfer it to, you know, a big exchange or to Cash App. Cash App makes it really easy, but you still have to sell it. You still have to sell your Bitcoin back to dollars, have to pay the fee, have to report the capital gains, right? Whether it's a loss or gain. And then you have the cash on your Cash App card, right? And then you could be a little bit more hardcore with it, where you send Bitcoin to your Cash App, you just leave it in Bitcoin, and then when you're gonna pay for something, you sell the exact amount. But then that's kind of a fucking pain in the ass, because it adds another step to paying for something. What I like about you guys though is, yeah, you could just keep topping off your gift card. I know that on the app there's a physical gift card and there's a virtual one. What's the difference between the two? And what does the physical say? Does it say the Bitcoin company gift card? Mm-hmm. What's the deal with that? Does it have your name on the gift card too?
I can show you one. Don't steal my money, please. But there's like $10 on here. This is like the physical ones. They're just a normal Visa gift card, and you know, it says like valued customer is my name and stuff, so it's nothing like too fancy. Oh. But yeah, you can get them shipped to you, and you know, all we need is the shipping address. We don't need like your picture of your ID or anything like that. And otherwise, yeah, you can do the virtual one as well, where you'll have the code like just on a website, and then you can go and like either add that to like Apple or Google Pay, or just, you know, type it into Amazon however you're making a purchase. So yeah, it really like lets you kind of do everything, and it's cool because we have the US version and we have the international version. So we do get like, I think like 75% of our sales are those international cards, where like lots of people, like, I know we have a pretty big user base in Brazil where lots of them are like, you know, just living on their Bitcoin down there, and it's really cool to see. So yeah, I'm really happy about that.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to see what you guys come up with in the future. I definitely think it's a need that you guys are fulfilling. And it's exactly what you said. It's the transition period where, you know, we're still in this fiat world, but we're living on a Bitcoin standard. And it's just the on and off ramp experience is terrible sometimes. Not to mention the tax obligations. Anyways, Phil, what are your thoughts on this, my friend? Did you know about this, first of all?
No, I have the app for the Bitcoin company, but I didn't realize that they did a physical card and a virtual card. So that's very cool. But I did, if it's okay with you, I do have a question about the banking services, because I'm very curious about that. That was something I thought that was pretty cool from Cash App. I mean, obviously, unfortunately, KYC, and we all hate KYC, AML. But my question was, if you're allowed to answer this, is what are there any challenges that you have gone through with essentially dealing with the legacy banking system, in, you know, like, if you've started to go through this process of offering these banking services, have you experienced any challenges? And if you could share that.
We haven't started building the banking services yet. That's probably going to start building like at the end of the summer. But what I have been working on for the last couple of months is adding credit card payments too. So you can buy the gift card with the credit card. And that's a fucking nightmare, I'll say. Like, it's so, like, I had Lightning implemented, you know, like the first day I joined the company, because like it's very easy. I already had libraries built out. But with credit cards, it's like, okay, you got to first get approval from them, then you need to get approval from each individual, you know, from Visa, then MasterCard and Amex. And then you need to, you know, go and like, oh, you have to handle all these chargeback edge cases and all this like random stuff. And, you know, like, oh, it's like, oh, they charge us a fee for the credit card payment. oh, they don't tell us the feet beforehand, so it's your counting is just like all messed up. It's like it's a nightmare, and it's just like, oh, it's clear like these systems were built, you know, 50 years ago, and you know they're just like, oh, just hacking on top of things, trying to modernize it, but you know it's just a flawed system, and they're just, you know, hoping to keep it to work. But it's very clear that, like, you know, Bitcoin is so much easier to build on top of, and as well, it's just like a better experience. You know, for one, you don't get your money stolen, as well as, you know, it's just, you know, instant payments are nice.
Awesome insight. I wasn't aware about the variable fee that they charge to the you know, like the I guess you'd say the transfer companies. You know, like that's very, very interesting, or the transaction processors. That's really weird. Okay, well, you know what? There's a reason why they're becoming obsolete. So,
yep.
Great insight.
And it's fascinating. It's what you said, right? And I think Jack Mahler's touched upon this too when he spoke at the Bitcoin conference at 2022. It's literally a patchwork on top of, like, it's a system. And then they just patched it, and they patched it, and they patched it, and they patched, which is fine, like the first couple of patches, right? But it's like decades later, like it's this like Frankenstein creature that has all these inefficiencies because of, you know, how it's designed. And then Bitcoin comes along, it just does everything better. But again, I think that not that many people, and I'm gonna steal the, you know, the Matrix scene, right? Just not that many people are ready to come out of the fiat matrix, so to speak. And I'm glad that you guys are bridging the gap between the two. Ideally, we want a world where everybody's on a Bitcoin standard. I think it would be a more peaceful world, a wealthier world as well. So yeah, I'm glad that you guys are part of that battle, that part of that fight. But anyways, Phil, it's time for
the Daily Fail, brought to you by Swan. Check them out, swanbitcoin.com. That's right, automated Bitcoin savings plans, instant purchases. They're serving clients of any size, $10, $10 million. Doesn't matter, they got you. The link is down below. As Nico just alluded to, we watched this video yesterday, but it's not about the video. It's about the further comments, and essentially we're going to close out this saga now. Okay, we're going to close it out with this fail. So here we go. Let's just a quick reminder here. Just a really quick reminder.
I don't need these people for anything, right? They're not coming to me for investment. These are not the founders that I invest in. Mm-hmm. These are certainly not the people that invest in my fund.
That's right. That's right. Anyways, so we're gonna use kind of a way back machine here. We're gonna
wait,
go back.
Wait, hold on. Ben, are you a founder?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
fuck. And I was expecting for you to say no. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. But now he's on our level, Phil. He's on our level. He's a founder. He's allowed to be here.
We're founders. That matters. The stuff matters.
Phil,
this is real?
We only speak to founders, bro. We're elites, man. We have a VC, dude. We have a VC. Oh,
I forgot. Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, bro.
All right, here we go. Let's dive into. We're gonna go into some simpler times, though. Got to go into some simpler times, Nico. Okay.
We don't speak to non-founders, bro.
Non-founders. Oh, that's right. So here we go, man. So we got to give a shout out to Sins from our Telegram group, who pointed me to this awesome thread of some really good Nick Carter history. Here we go. And this is a tweet thread from @Sina_BitGuide. Okay, and here we go. A time when the intolerant minority was healthy and good. We're going back to April 2018. Being intolerant of scammers and snake oil salesmen is a long-term strategy that is healthy and good for everyone. Even if it hurts in the short term, optimizing for any other set of norms is unworkable. That is correct, Nick.
You know that Mr. Hoddle retweeted that?
Oh, yes.
And Nick Carter deleted it?
Well, this is another reason. This is another reason I wanted to do this segment and to have these quotes before even their pictures disappear. Anyways, here's another one. This is a good one. This is from February 2nd, 2019. I really like this one. I'm not afraid to admit I'm offended when others wrongly assume I am closed-minded and parochial with an epithet. The use of maximalist gives actual genuine scammers air cover by posing the Bitcoiners as the closed-minded ones. Very well said. Very well said, Nick, from 2019. All right. So here we go. Another good one here. 2019 again. Us plebs who have the humility not to try and displace Bitcoin ought to be lectured by our intellectual betters about why generic ICO is better. Naturally. Those are good times. Those are very good times. And we're going to finish it off, this part of the segment, with this tweet here from 2019. Maxis are the gatekeepers, ensuring this industry doesn't descend into complete anarchy and nihilism. At least they believe in something. Indeed we do, Nick. Indeed we do. So, yeah, we had to finish that off with that, because we can show you, unfortunately for all of us, the internet never forgets and screenshots just don't disappear. Or at least for now, they don't disappear. Who knows? Who knows what happens in the future, right? Who knows? But look, before we dive into the next one, does anyone have anything else to say? I mean, Nico, you and I have said so much about this. Ben, do you have anything on this, or I can move on? It's up to you.
I mean, it's a shame that he killed Bitcoin maximalism, but I think we'll get through it.
It had to be said. It really had to be said, right? And you know what? We loved being Bitcoin maximalists. Unfortunately, it died. You know, we just didn't
have. You know what? Gone. It's Bitcoin maximalism for founders only, bro. You know, Bitcoin maximalism. Yeah. It's accepted if you're a founder.
For founders,
You're not a founder, it's canceled. It's canceled. It's over. Nick killed it in the crib.
But guys,
be happy that it happened, not that it's over.
And more wisdom out of Ben Carman. And you know what? seeing as Bitcoin maximalism is dead, I think we can safely take a look at this ETH meme.
Should we change the show name to Simply Founder?
Simply Founders.
That's Simply Founder, Simply bro. Founders. Simply Founders. Right. We can start wearing fucking suits and growing out mustaches, bro. Boom!
Hoots.
All right, anyways, that just ruined it. Suits are awful. That is so part of the system. It's anyways, don't even get me started on suits. Okay, so here we go. All right, we had to show this tweet from Not Grubel's awesome account. Maybe you guys can help me out. I know this isn't the meme review, but it's definitely a fail. When a strong asset becomes more scarce, I'm convinced no ETH person understands what soundness actually means. None of them have opened a dictionary. Check this out. No, silly, it's ultrasound money. It's when a strong asset becomes more scarce. How does that work?
What?
What? Right? That didn't make sense, right? Do we have to be Bitcoiners? Our audio listeners
are really confused right now.
Of course they're confused. Everyone's confused because that made no sense. Made no sense. And this is why we tell you that this is okay. Memes are effective when they convey the truth. That conveys absolutely nothing. It made no sense at all. But for some reason, when you have heavy bags, this makes sense to you. You do the mental gymnastics required to say to yourself, all right, this makes sense. I just don't see it. If either of you guys could point it to me, let me know.
Yeah, for our audio listeners, Phil was reading a meme. He just wasn't just saying those random words. I don't think the ETH guys are operating on the same tip, bro. I think that they're fiat maximalists. I think shitcoinery is just another version of fiat. I don't think they care about separating money from state. I really think that they'll ally with the state when the going gets rough, bro. If it means, and this is Guy Swan's awesome quote, if it means them getting Lambos, they don't mind shooting Bitcoin in the back, right? So I just don't think they care. I don't think they give a flying fuck. I think we're speaking different languages than they do. I think that they have different incentives. I think they have different priorities. But I'll say this, right? Ethereum, without a doubt, is an attack on Bitcoin. The Ethereum guys have been extremely hostile towards Bitcoin. Their main attack mechanism against Bitcoin has been the environmental FUD, which, by the way, fasten your sweet belts, when and if they eventually make that switch to proof of stake, is going to accelerate times 1,000. Because then they'll say, hey, look at how much more efficient this is. And it's just important to keep calling out these guys and exposing them with the truth. And I think me and you, Phil, will play a smart role in that. And I think Bitcoin Twitter as well. And I'm sure that the founder, Ben, the car man, will play an essential role in this as well. What do you think, Ben?
Of course. Yeah, fuck Ethereum and all those guys. Yeah, and like, that's just funny. It shows like they're just like trying to co-opt the Bitcoin meme and take it for themselves, where they don't even understand the Bitcoin meme. If they did, they'd be a Bitcoiner. So they just, you know, they just fall flat on their face.
That's true.
It was so well said. It's so true. Okay. We're gonna finish this out because, yeah, there's one last layer of shitcoin here, right? Because the bear market, everything starts to fall apart. This is what we say. Even though we don't really consider it a bear market, you know, everybody else does.
It's a discount.
It's a discount. Oh, it's a discount.
Oh, bear all market. Right. Speaking of bear, hold on. Ben, how do you feel about bears, bro?
Fuck them.
Yeah.
See, the words of wisdom.
If you've been on Bitcoin Twitter, you'll get that reference.
Exactly. You'll get it.
Ben all fucks right. bears up. He fucks them up with his own
Let's
hands.
Do it. Let's finish it up right here. Solana Labs faces class action lawsuit in California. Here's why it's important. The lawsuit could have massive implications for the shitcoin industry, since Mark Young, the lead plaintiff, alleges that the SOL token is an unregistered security. Oh my gosh, we are all so surprised by this news. Really? Unregistered security, you say? It adds that the defendants spent vast sums of money promoting SOL securities. And I just want to point out again, SOL stands for shit out of luck. Okay, anybody who's in the corporate world, right, will know that SOL does not stand for some amazing token. It stands for shit out of luck. Anyways, just saying, it's convenient that that is the name of their token. Young has accused Solana Labs of making deliberately misleading statements. We are surprised about the circulating supply of SOL securities. The plaintiff also claims that the blockchain, hold on for this one, guys, is not decentralized, contrary to the defendant's public representation. So look, this is more, you know, I guess we could call it gaslighting, because the Bitcoiners have been telling you this garbage all along. Now Solana Labs is falling apart. And for the people who don't remember, A16Z, Andreessen Horowitz, is one of the major backers of Solana Labs, right? And we saw all kinds of marketing, right, for like the last year, telling you that's going to be the biggest thing. You remember the ETH killer? I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't know why you'd be proud about killing another affinity scam with another affinity scam. It just makes no sense. It's like that Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other. Like, it just makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. And now this is just icing on the cake. I consider this, it's a troll at this point, because really the guy is suing them, and he's essentially explaining like, yeah, you marketed this thing misleadingly, and the circulate, and on top of that, you know, on top of that, the circulating, it's not decentralized. So really, I really don't know what's left for these guys. How many other big projects have to fall apart?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
Bro, it's a shit, bro. It's a shit coin of a shit coin of a shit coin. The blockchain froze twice this year. That's a root it, boot it back up. For anyone that doesn't know,
consensus by Discord.
Yeah, there you go.
They actually restarted it like 2 weeks ago, I think, or last week.
Yeah, it's restarted now. If you could restart a blockchain, by definition, it's not decentralized. So that's how I feel about it. But I'm sure Ben's going to say something a lot smarter than me. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, they've restarted a bunch. Like, there's been like multiple times where like the at Solana account tweets out like, check your Discord for the latest updates. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, the consensus rules are just Discord. That's great. And yeah, I mean, like, for the guy that's suing them, like, good luck. Like, you know, it's you lost money in a shitcoin. Like, you're not going to get your Bitcoin back. Like, you know, that's the whole point, is that you can't claw it back. So, you know, hopefully next time people learn and actually just, you know, hodl their Bitcoin.
The other funny thing is this, right? You'll notice, like, I'm very curious to see if Solana actually really gets the slap on the wrist, because keep in mind, Ethereum, we always talk about this, how Ethereum just evades all of this. Like, Ethereum is the mother of all shitcoin scams. It is totally, totally a security. And it just, it's never on there. For some reason, it's only on their minds when they're fighting ESG. But all these other shitcoins are secured. Like, I really think we're being trolled.
Yep. And remember, that you're not allowed to own Bitcoin if you make Bitcoin policy decisions in the U.S. government. Ha ha. But if you're Nancy Pelosi, it's all right. Anyways, Phil, it's time for
the Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin cultural zine. It's stories, articles, and comics by actual Bitcoiners. This is the artwork for Volume 10. It's the one I always show off because it's pink and it's pretty. This is the artwork for Volume 11. And this is the artwork for Volume 2. Volume 2 is almost sold out because there's only 1,000 physical copies made per volume. Get the latest print, Volume 12. It just dropped, Citadel21.com. All right, everybody, welcome to the Daily Bitcoin Meme Review. We review Bitcoin memes. Memes not only are an essential part of Bitcoin culture, they also play an essential role in this narrative trench warfare that we're fighting every single day on the battlegrounds of the internet against governments and central banks. Anyways, first meme. Bye. Greg Zag. This is also his alternative account. He wants everyone to know. So it's not just Greg Zag 1. It's Greg Zag 2. Anyways, Nick Dos. That was 4. Dos. There we go. Doors are going to open for me. The doors. Here's Raul Paul, Lee, Alfred, and Nick Carter with a that mustache, dude, freaks me the F out. Anyways.
He's so Crypto Gomez.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Bitfinex, let me fix that for you. Crypto exchange FTX sets up $2 billion Ponzi bailouts fund. Oh man! All right, next one.
We had to do this one, Nico. We had no choice.
All right,
Wynikus killed it.
Hey, Wynikus, our in-house meme lord at Simply Bitcoin. Shout out Wine, Simply Bitcoin VC, crypto, Web3 coin, retail. And the rug pull. That's absolutely hilarious. VC. It didn't say Simply Bitcoin. It says VC, crypto, Web3, coin. Retail starts to kick it, and then it's a rug pull. It was very well. Very well done. Very well done. All right. Next one by Denise Hoddle. Plebs with each other. Plebs against central banks. This is so true. All right. Some videos. Let's check these out, shall we? This one does not have volume. Seven Notch hodling in 2022. Look at his face. Oh man. All right, next one by the Naive Cat. An awesome memer, by the way. Yeah. Let's check this out. Oh. And you gotta see it because alright, 3, 2, 1. And you gotta see it because the platform goes back to the lows! No! Oh! What a save! And you gotta see it because that is very accurate on how it feels. It literally feels that way. Awesome, awesome memes for that. For those awesome memes, Phil. I'm going to give it this delicious bag of lentil chips. That's right. If lentils weren't enough, now they make chips. Some lentil chips. Anyways, Phil.
Make lentil chips, huh? I'm very impressed by that. I never thought I'd really see that. Anyways, very interesting. Great score. And I thought those were awesome memes. So I'm going to give it my brand new, right, from Crypto Cloaks. Of course, I have to show it. The mic cover. I never realized it just kind of comes apart.
You get a full one. I got the half
one. You got a front plate, right?
Wow, so that means you have to send it to me now.
It's in the mail.
Ben, the car man. What's up, brother? What would you give those memes?
Those are all really good. I like the mix of images and video, so I'm going to give it a set of silverware.
Oh, man.
I just want to eat them right up.
Dude, you need that. You need that.
It's the silverware that if you're eating something that's hard to cut, it just breaks on you. I love that. And the plastic bag and the salt and pepper bag in there too. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal scores. Lentil chips and fills up my mic cover that Phil hasn't sent to me yet. Guys, we want to know if you agree with our scores. You disagree, let us know down in the comment section. Make sure to join our awesome Telegram group. It's a party in there. You could link us Bitcoin memes to review on the Bitcoin Meme Review, but only if you join our Telegram. Join it right now and subscribe to us on alternative video platforms like Bitcoin TV and Rumble.com. And if you're listening to the Twitter Spaces audio version of this, make sure to stay until after the show where we'll do like a live Q&A hangout type thing. But anyways, Phil, there was an open source software release today. Why didn't you tell everybody about it?
Software releases brought to you by CipherSafe. Check them out. CipherSafe.io. You can't store your seed in paper. We know Ben doesn't store the seed on paper. That's not happening. We're all storing our seeds in steel. Store your seed in the Cypher Grid or the Cypher Wheel. They both come with a tamper-resistant wire, and the grid comes with a punch tool. All right, we've got Blue Wallet version 6.3.1 that was released. It's down below in the show notes. Guys, don't forget to check us out on our audio-only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, check us out on Fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. All right, guys, that was our show. Before we go, I want to give a very quick shout-out to the new writing section of Simply Bitcoin, www.simplybitcoin.news. The legendary pled Pirate Beach Bum is bringing out hot fire. Definitely want to go check out his takes. He drops like a new article every week or so. Did one on Nick Carter, did one on Bitcoin maximalism, and he just interviewed LC Hoddle and the Space Cat he did the week before. Definitely go check it out. Also, want to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. Phil and I wear the hoodies every single day. They're comfy. They're stylish. He's coming out with Bitcoin merch. He has come out with Bitcoin merch. He's coming out with Simply Bitcoin merch dropping soon. Take advantage of the promo code down below to get 10% off RepresentLTD.com. I also want to give a very special shout out to the legendary Ben the Carman. He slays bears with his bare hands. That's what he does. That's what he does. Ha ha. Anyways, go check out the Bitcoin Company. We'll put the website down below. They're freaking awesome, guys, especially if you're already living on a Bitcoin standard. Definitely want to go check them out. Of course, guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed the show and you want to do, smash the like button. Smash it. Smash it. And of course, you want to continue hearing the Bitcoin news from the pleb perspective and the catastrophic fails from the same perspective, definitely consider subscribing to Simply Bitcoin, and we will see you tomorrow, guys, for a brand new episode.
Don't forget to reach out to Ben the Carman at the Bitcoin Company in the Human Resources Department.